We'll meditate on the last section of today's first reading on page 6 is where it begins. It's verses 45 to 49 from 1 Samuel 17. Hear just those verses again. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the ranks of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will hand you over to me. I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines to the birds of the air, to the wild animals of the earth. Then all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle belongs to the Lord, and he will deliver you into our hand." Then when the Philistines started advancing to attack David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand into his bag, took a stone from it, shot it with his sling, and struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. That's the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord. In you we hope. Amen. My dear Christian friends, really? One stands while everyone else sits? I've been told that that's voluntold. Like when somebody in church volunteers for a job and everybody says, "Yeah, you go get them," and nobody stands up to help. Not healthy, no. And it doesn't really sound to make sense either for Americans who have a U.S. Constitution that guarantees our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and our ability to defend ourselves, the right to bear arms, all of that, you know, the Yankee can-do attitude. You might not like that down south, but, you know. And then that statement that some people actually think comes from the Bible, but it doesn't. God helps those who help themselves. What we're seeing today is a situation where God helps those who cannot help themselves. In this area of our salvation, saving us from enemies not only of our bodies but of our souls, there will be one who stands, and we need to sit this one out. We saw that with Jesus in his temptation. We'll come back to that from Luke 4. But here from 1 Samuel 17, select verses, and again, please go back and read the ones in between. There was a challenger of the Philistines. They're not sure where they came from, except the southwestern coast, what's called the Gaza Strip now. But they were the archenemies of the Israelites. As you're reading in Judges and 1 and 2 Samuel, the Philistines are always there. Samson fought them, Saul, David. And this one, you realize how tall 9.5 feet is? Descended from giants. So my reach at 6 feet here is right at 8 feet. I don't think I can walk through one of these doors with my hand up like that. Some of these young men better stop growing in this congregation, or you're going to have to duck getting through these doors too, just saying. But honestly, if Goliath walked, he'd have to duck way down to get through these doorways. This was a giant. And what he was carrying, this guy's a walking tank, bronze helmet, scaled body armor. 100 pounds of bronze went into that. Bag of salt. They make them 40 pounds. Used to be able to carry the 60, maybe the 80. No. 40's heavy now. These pounds are getting heavier as we get older. And this is 100 pounds. He's walking around with that. Bronze greaves are going to be his shin guards here. Bronze spear slung on his back, and This is both the Bronze Age and the Iron Age. So just the spearhead is 15 pounds of iron. Tried to figure out how heavy the hymnals are. Didn't have a scale at home, but I think it's a little bit over a pound. So just say 9 or 10 of these hymnals stacked up in that weight. And that's just the head of the spear. I don't know if he threw it or just thrust it, but this is a... And then, as if that's not enough, he's got a bodyguard, a shield bearer that goes out in front of him. Okay, so you can understand, while in the Valley of Elah, there are pictures of that, you can find that online, the Philistines are on one side, the Israelites, the Jews are on the other side, they're lined up in their battle formations, and this giant Goliath keeps stepping out right in front of them, and he shouts this defiance, "You're servants of Saul, I'm a Philistine, just choose a man. We will be your servants. I defy the ranks of Israel today. Give me a man to fight." I want you to notice something that I never noticed before. There's three temptations there that match what Jesus was up against in the wilderness. He attacks our relationship with God. Goliath does. Servants of Saul, he's defying the armies of the living God. Those are in the in-between verses where it's really explicit. This is straight out blasphemy. He has counterfeit promises. I don't know if you know the story well enough, but after David beats Goliath, the Philistines do not surrender. They run, they keep fighting. There's none of this, "We will be your servants." That's a lie. Satan loves those. "Choose a man to represent you. Why should you all fight? You guys just sit. Give us a champion," see? Quick and easy. No effort. Temptations. Really, nothing has changed in the temptations that Satan used with Goliath here. When it says uncircumcised Philistine, that's a flat-out unbeliever, all right? Satan's temptation, same with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in the beginning. Same temptations for Jesus in the wilderness, which we'll get to in a minute. But all of Saul's army, terrified. In the meantime, the shepherd boy, the youngest of 8 sons of Jesse, must have been about 12 or 14 years old here, David, is running back and forth between the flocks in Bethlehem to the Valley of Elah and bringing supplies. In those days, that's how they fed the troops. Somebody from the family had to bring them food. So that's what David was doing. And this was another time. And this time when David comes, he's just horrified. Not terrified, but horrified to hear this blasphemy coming out of this giant Goliath. And so he's going back and forth and talking to the men, and his oldest brother gets really ticked off at this little redhead. Now, David's not a big guy. He's probably, 12, 14 years old. Ruddy, it says, we think probably handsome redhead, but just a boy, see? And he's telling these troops of the Lord, "What are you afraid of? Somebody's got to go fight this guy." David even said to Saul, "Do not let anyone lose heart because of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Can you imagine how King Saul must have felt with that? "You got to be kidding me. You're just a boy. He's been a warrior all his life." He doesn't even say anything about the size, right? Just the age is against you. And then the story that David tells. Here's the champion from among the Israelites, most unlikely, but unique. Really the only one who could stand up in this situation while everyone else sits. Who else could talk about the Lord delivering him from a lion and a bear? And it's not little cubs either. The lion was big enough to come into David's flock and steal one of the lambs and go off with it. And David, you could say, is brave enough, but he's not brave in himself. Most of the Psalms in the Bible, the Old Testament hymn book, are written by David. You just got to read those when you're fearful, when you're sad, when you're depressed, and when you're joyful. Because everything in between is there in the Psalms. And David, in writing those, has that faith that enables him to run after that lion that's got one of his sheep in his mouth, forces the lion to drop the lamb or whatever, and then grabs the lion by the mane and kills it. Did the same with the bear. These are not fables, not myth, not legend. This happened. God says so. And David is relying on that, and he tells Saul that Goliath has defied the ranks of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from this Philistine. He's ready to go. Just as our Lord Jesus was ready to go after he was baptized by John in the Jordan River. That's what's there on page 10, Luke chapter 4. Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit and power through his baptism. When the Holy Spirit came down on him in the form of a dove, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, and the apostles talk about that. Peter, in Acts chapter 10, when he goes to the home of Cornelius, the Roman centurion, this is where Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. Jesus returns from the Jordan. He's led by the Spirit, driven by the Spirit out into the wilderness to do battle with Satan. Those temptations that I read before parallel the temptations of Goliath the giant. Jesus is told by the devil, if you are the Son of God, attack on his relationship with God. Kind of like you and me, when we're tempted sometimes to feel like God has forgotten us, like whatever it is you're going through is somehow not noticed. You've been praying. Is God listening? You just sometimes feel so forgotten. And Satan can be there at your ear, bringing up all those fears and those feelings. And how does Jesus fight? The only one who could stand against Satan on earth is not his equal. Jesus said, it is written. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God, and he puts that weapon into our hands too for the battles of ours that will follow. But only here Jesus could fight. He's got to beat down sin, death, and hell to beat Satan with it is written. The devil says, all these kingdoms of the world could be yours. Get what's coming? Take the easy way, quick and easy. Skip the cross. Jesus said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Talk about empty, counterfeit promises. Satan knows how to quote the scripture too. Quote Psalm 91. We were singing on angels' wings before. That comes from Psalm 91. Satan says, well, it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answers from what the scripture says. It says, you shall not test the Lord your God. Don't test him. And you think this is just stories in the Bible. Not so long ago, a little girl on the playground in one of our schools was dared by a friend to jump off some high place on the playground equipment. Ended up having to go to the doctor. She was told the angels will watch over you. See how that works? There is such a thing as a sin of presumption. We don't talk about it much. But a sin of presumption is where you presume on God to do something for you where he hasn't actually promised specifically for that thing. And Jesus answers false, perverted scripture with the scripture. It is the word of God that he quotes. And Jesus quotes it right. So Jesus, standing in our place, the champion who is from us and for us, He's the only one who can beat back the old evil foe on earth is not his equal. Notice David. He took his staff in his hand. He's not going to wear the armaments of Saul. Can't get around in them. It's just not going to work. So he goes just with his staff. And why does he pick out 5 smooth stones? You can guess. These Israelite shepherds and warriors with their sling were fabled and famous to be able to sling a stone at a hare and not miss. The Benjamites were left-handed. I don't even know if I could do that. But sling. They were absolutely accurate marksmen. He takes 5 stones. Trusting in God is not the same as tempting God. And the temptation is the same as, well, Jesus. Just jump, because he'll give his angels charge over you. Take what you have, use what you have, be prepared, and go and fight, because it's not just the Lord's promises at stake here, it's the name of the Lord. You come against me, Goliath, with sword, spear, javelin. I come against you in the name of the Lord of armies. Now, once David says that, the Lord God has to help. As long as he's actually coming in the name of the Lord God of armies. Words have been thrown out cheap like that before. Christian crusaders who thought they could just march off and mess up all the Christians on the way and then go fight the Muslims. That was part of the problem with the Crusades. On the way there, they did a lot of damage to fellow Christians in the Eastern churches. Sad. Massacred Muslims and Jews when they finally got into Jerusalem. Sad. If you hear those stories, you can understand why some people just don't like this. But David is coming in the name of the Lord God of Israel in the right way. And he's standing up for the reputation of the Lord as the Savior God. And the Philistine is defying him. So when David says, "The Lord will hand you over to me today," he's not relying on his own strength. This will have to be the Lord fighting, so that David could strike him down, cut off his head, and then feed the corpses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. It's coming. The relationship as God's people is at stake here. The Lord of armies. Trust in God's promises at stake here, because he would help them. He said he would help them against their enemies. And David is trusting that the blessings will flow from this. When he says, "Then all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel, and all those gathered here," Philistines and Jews alike, "will know that the Lord does not save by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's." If you memorize nothing else from this chapter, 1 Samuel 17, memorize that. The battle is the Lord's. And carry that with you in your heart. Because you're going to have battles where the Lord puts you there on purpose and says, "Now use the sword of the Spirit," which is the word of God. Put on the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You know, Ephesians chapter 6, we have our battles. But first, we have to sit. We have to sit this one out when it comes to our salvation, because it will not be by our works. The battle belongs to the Lord, and he will deliver you, Goliath, into my hand, because he's the one who fights in my place, the Lord does, vicariously. That's substitution. And he fights victoriously. David doesn't wait. Did you get that? There's a readiness and eagerness here that reminds me of that gospel of peace that makes you want to run with the gospel. My calendar every Sunday, when it's time for me to get up and leave the sermon and get to church, I put it in there, run with the gospel. That's what I'm thinking. Trust in the Lord. I could have another day or two and still not feel prepared. Something I learned from teaching high school for 2 years. Just never going to feel prepared. Get there. Go. Run with the gospel. So the Philistine starts advancing. David ran quickly toward the battle line. As he's running, hand in the bag, sling stone up, we'd say right between the eyes into the forehead. But he doesn't even stand back at that point. It's off the end of these verses, the rest of the story. He consolidates his win. Apparently, the giant's not dead yet. So David runs over, stands over to Goliath. There's great pictures of this, although I think he's younger than the one that I have in my mind right now. And David takes the sword of Goliath, which would have taken David 2 hands to hold, finishes him off, and then with his own sword cuts off his head and keeps the head. The sword ends up with one of the priests. David gets it later. David's walking around with his trophy. Read the rest of the story. Maybe you can see why my brothers and I, you know, when Dad said in our family devotions, you guys can pick what we read. Oh, it's going to be Joshua, Judges, 1st or 2nd Samuel, 1st or 2nd Kings, because that's where all the battles are. Yeah. But Christ must fight them. And we must let him. Because there's something ingrained in all of us. Our Lutheran confessions talk about it. That opinio legis, the opinion of the law that somehow I have to contribute, put something in, if not saving myself, at least the decision for Christ. That was in Bible class this morning too, this decision theology. No. It is finished before you can make a decision. You are justified because Jesus justified you. God justified you, declared you not guilty along with the whole world, whether you believe it or not. So for believe it, don't turn away. Believe it. Because it's not a potential salvation. It's an absolutely finished, perfect salvation done by him who alone could stand when the rest of us could only sit. And what comes of it? When Jesus, our champion, is also our great high priest, the one who comes from us as one of us, conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, both God and man, Son of God and Son of Mary. He's one of us, but he's the only one who could fight for us. And when Jesus died, that curtain in the temple that separated the people from the most holy place where God was said to dwell above the ark, that curtain was torn in two from top to bottom and the way to heaven wide open. As we read from Hebrews 4:14-16, because of our great high priest, we can come with confidence. We can come with confidence to him who can sympathize because he was tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. And we're coming to the throne of grace with confidence to receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Dear Father in heaven, you promised to help. But I always want to say, thy will be done. Because if you have a better idea, I'd rather have you do it your way. And since you told the Apostle Paul, as we heard a few weeks ago, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, then here in my weakness, if this must go on, then give me the strength and the grace to bear up. Not just perseverance, but patience. In that perseverance, we'll have our battles, but only as we follow the champion who alone could fight sin, death, and hell and win in our place as our substitute, so that now with the weapons of the Spirit we too can fight to win. with Christ alone. Amen.